Reverse Deception Radio on the Veritas Radio Network, Crusade Channel.
This is radio the way it should be. Welcome to another episode of Reverse Deception Radio. This is your host, Gregory Junk Bond Carpenter. And I promise I am not as cold as that guy right there. But we will be talking about some people that are pretty cold. That's what the show is about today. Not talking about cold people, but talking about the French Revolution. And most of you are sitting there saying, well, Greg, I know about the French Revolution. You don't have to tell me about that again. I know about that. We're not going to talk about the French Revolution. We're going to talk about the French Revolution. We're going to talk about the July Revolution of 1830, and then we're going to get into the June Rebellion of 1832. We're going to talk about the actual cause of these revolutions. It's not what you're learning in high school, and it's not in your History 101 class. I'm going to let you know that right up front. This stuff is going to come straight at you. We're not going to give any curveballs. We're not going to have a slider. There's going to be no screwballs. This is just going to be fastballs all the way, folks. Now, I'm sure everyone knows about the French Revolution of 1789. Did you know it lasted 10 years? Went all the way to 1799. Sure did. But in that time, some very strange and interesting things happened. Things that don't get talked about in the light of day, but they do get talked about on this channel because this is what actually happened. This is what really happened. You want to know what the French Revolution was all about? It included something called theology. And a big part of the July Revolution of 1830 and the June Rebellion of 1832 were included in that. As a matter of fact, in 1794, the height of what was happening in the rebellion, in the revolution at that time, with the Jacobins, that the height of the issue was about religion. It became about religion. Now, because we're not allowed to talk about religion in school anymore, you're not going to hear that it was about religion. It was about getting rid of the Catholic Church. Now, of course, it's not as simple as that, and I don't want to dumb down the French Revolution to one cause and one effect. That's not the point of what we're talking about today. The point of what we're going to talk about is the unspoken aspects of what happened during those revolutionary times. We're going to delve into the cult of the supreme being, what that meant for France and what that meant for the Committee on Safety. Then we're going to go in a little bit to the Revolution of 1830, and finish up with the Revolution of 1832. So without any further ado, To dig into the theological aspect of what happened, we have to look at the life of one Maximilien Robespierre. His full name was Maximilien François-Marie Isidore de Robespierre. Now, he's a highly colorful and very influential and somewhat mysterious sometimes and confusing person from history. Some of the things that he had done to rise to notoriety was he campaigned for universal male suffrage in France, price controls on food and commodities, abolishment of slavery in the French colonies. He vehemently opposed the death penalty, which we're going to find is rather ironic. Later on, things happened in his life that made it just very interesting that he was such a big opponent of the death penalty. But it was Robespierre who played a key role in the execution of King Louis the 16th. His speech in the chamber led to the decision to execute King Louis the 16th, and it did also a lot to push France forward to establish a French Republic. And one of the things I just mentioned, universal male suffrage, is something that people say, wait a minute, what are you talking about, universal male suffrage? Well, that's right. Not all men always had the right to vote. Let me say it again. Not all men always had the right to vote. Men, just like women, had to push to be able to gain the right to vote. During the Jacksonian democracy period from like the 1820s to the early 1850s, there was a big push for universal manhood or man suffrage throughout the United States. This is just in contrast of what was happening in France. Almost all states had pushed forward and granted suffrage to white males. Rhode Island was a holdout. Rhode Island did not grant suffrage to all the white males until after the Dorr Rebellion. The Dorr Rebellion? Greg, come on, man. What is going on with you? Well, some things are important. Some things are very important, and we don't know why they are the way they are. Thomas Dorr was a middle-class dude in Rhode Island who literally took up the charge for male suffrage. He even wrote into the documents that he presented to include black men to vote. And this was 1841. 1840, 1841. Rhode Island was still using the 1663 colonial charter as a constitution. It required that the voters owned land. A later legislative rule required that a man be white and own $134 in property in order to vote. But it still wasn't all men. Now, you can have the discussion, the argument that all men should not be voting, all people should not be voting, or, you know, how do we decide who votes or how we're going to go about this? But this was something that was different, it was revolutionary, and it was something that Robespierre was pushing forward in France. Now, Robespierre had been involved with the revolution in France from the very beginning. He was a member of the Third Estate. He was the deputy to the National Assembly. He became the deputy of the National Constituent Assembly. He was the president of the National Convention, and he was a member of the Committee on Public Safety. And I find it interesting that the Committee on Public Safety, one of the things they did was vote to allow themselves the right to have people guillotined without any trial by jury. They just chopping heads off like crazy. This is how out of control the Jacobins had become. And we know this period as the Reign of Terror. This is when things were just so far out of control. Robespierre was on the Committee of Public Safety. He was one of those people making the decisions that had people executed just because. Now, this is a very dangerous thing, and it got out of control very quickly. Even from the beginning of the revolution, people were going nutso. This was not something that was an organized revolution like had happened here in the States. The Jacobins, or as they were first known, the Society of the Friends of the Constitution. That was the original name of the Jacobin Club dudes, just by the way. Their philosophy was telling them that the king, the rightful leader of the country needed to be gone. And they came into subsequent debates whether or not they were going to exile him, execute him, whatever they're going to do with him. But one of the important things that Robespierre believed was that he did not like a dictatorship. He did not believe in dictatorships. Now, I'll take a quote here from Robespierre. "If they are Caesars or Cromwells, they seize power for themselves. If they are spineless courtiers, uninterested in doing good, yet dangerous when they seek to do harm, they go back to lay their power at their master's feet and help him to resume arbitrary power on condition they become his chief servants." Self-seeking, self-serving, selfish. People looking to gain at the expense of others is his concept. Dictatorships are never good. His concept. We see where, well, a constitutional union, right, sometimes isn't great. And sometimes a dictatorship is marvelous. Look at Monaco. Monaco works just fine. The United Kingdom has a monarch, believe it or not. It's a constitutional monarchy. There are several other places around the world that worked pretty well with a monarch. I can think of a couple that we've just been involved with not that long ago. Iraq, Libya. These monarchs, what, they weren't the greatest people in the world, were they? I'm not the judge. I can tell from what I've seen presented to me that I probably wouldn't do the same thing that they were doing. But for goodness sakes, to go kill hundreds of thousands of people in Iraq? Do you know, we still don't know the total number of people that have been killed in Iraq? We can ballpark it at maybe 500,000. Did we really do good? Was Robespierre right? Is a dictatorship bad no matter what? Robespierre also believed that force was not an effective or proper way to spread the ideals of any type of a revolution. Robespierre didn't believe that force was effective or proper in a revolution. Quote, "The most extravagant idea that can arise in a politician's head is to believe that it is enough for a people to invade a foreign country to make it adopt their laws and their constitution. No one loves armed missionaries. The Declaration of the Rights of Man is not a lightning bolt which strikes every throne at the same time. I am far from claiming that our revolution will not eventually influence the fate of the world. But I say it will not be today." Yes, you don't start out with force. You never want to use force. It's always preferable to bring your point across by speaking with someone, engaging in dialogue, active communication, the three parts of communication, the message, the sender, the receiver. It's pretty simple, but sometimes it takes us a whole heck of a long time to try to get a point across, doesn't it? Sometimes it doesn't work so well, and people lose their patience. And guess what? They end up engaging in violence. And violence is not the way to go about things. So on this point, I agree with Robespierre quite emphatically. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Reverse Deception Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network Crusade Channel, radio the way it should be. And today we're discussing the French Revolution, and the French Revolution. Right now we're focusing on the life of Robespierre and his contributions to the French Revolution. So the previous quotes I gave you about Robespierre loving peace were from 1792. And just a couple years later, in the report on the principles of political morality, Robespierre praised the revolutionary government and argued that terror and virtue, which is common among deists, to throw virtue in there, he argued that they were necessary. Quote, "If virtue be the spring of a popular government in times of peace, the spring of that government during a revolution is virtue combined with terror. Virtue, without which terror is destructive. Terror, without which virtue is impotent. Terror is only justice prompt, severe and inflexible. It is then an emanation of virtue. It is less a distinct principle than a natural consequence of the general principle of democracy applied to the most pressing wants of the country. The government in a revolution is the despotism of liberty against tyranny."